The result of these four choices was not an exhibition that could be called a success on any front. It was pretty much a laughingstock to the public and a complete financial failure. While it did endear Courbet to the other avant-garde artists and established him as an inspiration to the next generation of artists, it did prove, in some small way, that an individual artist with enough spunk and guts could compete with even the grandeur of King Louis Napoleon's 7 years' reign. Which leads us to one of the pieces of his art he featured in his Realism Pavilion, a painting that contrasted 7 years of his life, 1848 to 1855, with the 7 years of Louis Napoleon's reign. That painting was The Artist Studio, a real allegory summing up 7 years of my life as an artist. The title of Courbet's painting contains a contradiction. The words real and allegory have opposing meanings. In Courbet's earlier work, real would have been seen as a rejection of the heroic and ideal in favor of the actual. Courbet's real might also be a coarse and unpleasant truth tied to economic injustice. The real might also point to shifting notions of morality. In contrast, an allegory is a story or an idea expressed with symbols. Is it possible that Courbet is using his title to alert the viewer to contradictions and double meanings in the image? Look, for instance, at the dim paintings that hang on the rear wall of his Paris studio. These large landscapes seem to form a continuous horizon line from panel to panel. They dissolve enough so that we are not sure if they are paintings, or if they are perhaps windows that frame the landscape beyond. Is it real, or is it a representation? Courbet seems to muddy the distinction and allow for both possibilities. The artist is immediately recognizable in the center of the canvas. His head is cocked back, and his absurd beard is thrust forward in the same haughty angle seen in Bonjour, Monsieur Courbet. And here, he is assessing and just possibly admiring the landscape that he is in the process of painting. The central composition is a trinity of figures, four if you count the cat. To Courbet's right stands a nude model. Note that her dress is strewn at her feet. There is nothing exceptional here. After all, this is an artist's studio and models are often nude. However, Courbet does not look in her direction, as he would if she was actually posing for him. He doesn't need to. He is, after all, painting an unpopulated landscape. Oddly, the direction of the gaze is reversed. The model directs her attention to a line with Courbet's, not vice versa. She gazes at the landscape he paints. In the realm of the real, she functions as a model. But as allegory, she may be truth or liberty, according to the political meanings of some scholars, and she may be the muse of ancient Greek myth, a symbol of Courbet's inspiration. The boy to the left of the artist is also a reference. The smallest of the three central figures, he looks up, literally, to Courbet's creation with admiration. The boy is unsullied by the illusions of adulthood. He sees the truth of the world. And he represented an important goal for Courbet, to unlearn the lessons of the Art Academy. The sophistication of urban industrial life, he believed, distanced artists from the truth of nature. Above all, Courbet sought to return to the pure, direct sight of a child. The cat, by the way, is often read as a reference to independence or liberty. The entire, rather crowded canvas is divided into two large groups of people. In the group on the left, we see fairly rough types described. They are cast as stock characters, a woodsman, the village idiot, a Jew, and others. There are several other allusions, such as the inclusion of the current ruler of France, Louis Napoleon, but let's focus on the larger theme at hand. Here, then, are the country folk whom Courbet faces. On the opposite side of the canvas are, in contrast, a far more handsome and well-dressed party. Gathered on the right lower corner of the painting are Courbet's wealthy private collectors and his urbane friends. At the canvas's extreme right sits Charles Baudelaire, the influential poet who is a close friend of the painter. Is this composition familiar? Courbet is engaged in the act of painting, or as we might say, he is creating a landscape. Could the reference be to God the Creator? The composition seems directly related to the traditional composition of the New Testament story, The Last Judgment. Think of Giotto's Last Judgment fresco on the back wall of the Arena Chapel in Padua, or Michelangelo's Last Judgment painting on the altar wall of the Sistine Chapel. In those paintings, the blessed, those who are on their way to heaven, were on the right side of Christ, our left, and the damned, those on their way to hell, were shown on Christ's left, our right. Courbet has painted himself in the position of creator, but does he want us to use a capital C? What then of the model muse? In the place of the blessed on the left are the country folk, a reference to the morality of nature. On the right side, in place of the damned, are the urban sophisticates, the notion of the corruption of the city. And in the bottom right-hand corner, where Michelangelo placed Satan himself, we find, amusingly, Courbet's close friend, the poet Baudelaire, author of The Flowers of Evil. Finally, note the crucified figure partly hidden behind the easel. Indeed, Courbet referred to himself as a kind of martyr, such paintings as Self-Portrait as Wounded Man. He created these satirical portrayals of himself as a martyred saint, perhaps because of his metaphorical suffering at the hands of the French art critics.